Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people."
Good morning, Lake B. It's good to be with you today. And I'm excited to share this Sunday with you. From the sanctuary. Don't worry, we're being safe. Crystal made sure of that. So today I want to talk to you about waiting in silence. We've been talking about waiting, and in fact, this has been a season of waiting that Advent is. And a season of waiting, though, often reveals kind of our way of thinking about time. And time in this pandemic reality has even been a little different, right? Waiting for different things to happen, waiting to see if something is going to change in our schedule, just a season of waiting. Well, how we see or perceive time speaks profoundly to the places of our lives where time and how we manage time is problematic. Yes, the God who is both like outside of time and submits himself to time, to the constraints of time and creation, uses time to disciple us, to disciple his people. Dorothy Bass writes an interesting piece here on time. And she says, "We delude ourselves into believing that if we can just get everything done, if we can only tie up all the loose ends, if we can even once get ahead of the crush, we will prove our worth and establish ourselves in safety. Our problem with time is social, cultural, and economic, to be sure. But it is also a spiritual problem, one that runs right to the core of who we are as human beings. Indeed, those distortions drive us into the arms of a false theology, she argues. We come to believe that we, not God, are the masters of time. We come to believe that our worth must be proved by the way we spend our hours, and that our ultimate safety depends on our own good management. Well, waiting then is a spiritual discipline where we surrender notions of controlling time. And that way, waiting actually might be a gift. I don't think I saw that as a young person, but now I probably would say waiting is like a gift. It gives us a more true sense of our humanity. And as we heard from our pastors, Lena and Reverend Paul, this Advent season of waiting isn't passive at all. I would like to build on that idea and proffer that waiting in silence is the activity of silencing one's inner voices, narratives, and dialogues. The practice of waiting in silence is actively quieting and diminishing all other voices, narratives, and discussions to make space for the words of God. Tell yourself, shh.
Princess. When you're a princess. Princess. And be a princess. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you're a
No, I don't mean silencing others like this little girl does to her father. Nor do I mean the silencing that happens when power seeks to silence the voice of injustice. Neither do I mean to say that waiting in silence is God's way of saying, shut up and listen. Some of you remember what parents used to do back in the day when we were acting a fool. They had not read or been kind of enculturated into popular culture child rearing psychology. You may have heard these things. Listen, if you could hear, a lot better if you just stop talking. Or this one, look, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Or after a spanking, which was the worst, they'd say, go to your room and I don't want to hear a peep from you as you sniffled and shuffled your way back to your room. But all joking aside, at times, this is how I hear the angel Gabriel talk to Zechariah in this text. Zechariah is a soon-to-be father. He is serving the synagogue and enters the temple when the angel Gabriel appears to him and tells him what is to come. He says, your prayer has been answered. Elizabeth is about to have a child. Elizabeth and Zechariah were older, and in fact, she was barren. But though the circumstances said they would not have a child, the angel says to Zechariah, your prayers have been answered, which means Zechariah, in spite of the circumstances, was still praying for a child. And the angel goes on to say, this boy will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit of Elijah, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. In the midst of this angelic and prophetic moment, Brother Zeke does something I wish I could say I've never done. There are times, though, when our response to God's revelation is like, so how do I know this will happen? What facts do I have? But the situation doesn't work like that. See, Brother Zeke said, I am old and my wife is old. So, angel, how do I know this is going to happen? And the angel answered, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to bring you this good news. But because you did not believe my words, you will be silent. A paraphrasing of that sentence is, you will not speak until the time of these words spoken have been revealed. You will keep silent until these words have come true. You will be unable to speak until what God says happens. See, the practice of waiting in silence is actively silencing the voices, narratives, and discussions that we use to manipulate the fulfillment of God's timing. It is confessing that I am not in control. Whatever God is doing will happen in its own time. Waiting in silence then magnifies God's activities over my own. Waiting in silence is like that surrender. Waiting in silence is that humbling surrender. Waiting in silence puts human wisdom in its rightful place and reminds us that human constructs and conditions take a pause to God's intentions. Human constructs and conditions take a pause to God's conditions. When we wait in silence, we are saying the structures of this world do not control time, or do they ever fulfill God's intentions without God saying so. There was a young boy who thought he knew how to parent himself. And so his parents signed him up to play basketball. He was good, but the coach sat him on the bench and did not say anything to him. The boy was frustrated and complained to his parents, but they did nothing. One day he asked the coach when he would get a chance to play. The coach replied, in time. The boy waited a few more games, but this time, when he asked the coach, he thought there would be a different answer, but the coach said again, in time. The boy waited a few more games, enduring practices and going to and from home to the gym and getting in extra time to try and improve himself. Surely that was the reason he wasn't playing. He wasn't working hard enough. He wasn't good enough yet. But the boy waited a few more games, but this time the coach put him in the game. After the game, the boy asked the coach, why now? Why did you wait all this time to put me in the game? Why did you have me waiting? The coach said to the little boy, sweating from a long game that he had played and practiced for it and done all this extra work for. The coach said, your silence showed me you trust me to make the right decision. Your silence said, if I tell you to run this play, you will believe my words. Your silence was the evidence, and that's all I needed. Well, church, in this season of waiting, we are called to silence as evidence that we believe God's words, that salvation has come, that redemption came through a young lady who had no power or wealth, just a promise. Church, in this season of waiting, we are called to a silence as evidence that we believe that God's words will happen in our community, that salvation has come to Lake Berrien, that redemption has come through a broken community without resources to fulfill all of the challenges that we have here. But yet we wait in silence as that evidence in this season. Not all the time do we wait in silence. Not every moment do we wait in silence. But in this season, we wait in silence as evidence that God is. Remember what Gabriel said? I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent here to give you this good news. Literally, that is what it means to wait in silence, to wait for that moment when, not by your own hard work, not by preparing yourself to be perfect, not by being that kind of person that has to have every I dotted and every T crossed, though we struggle with that, we try, not always that kind of effort where we manage time in this way that it proves who we are as individuals. No, not that kind of self. But rather the kind of evidence that is revealed in the moment of waiting, where we wait for God's words to fulfill our identity, to speak to our longings and our yearnings, not only personally, but in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our city, and in our nation. May we be a people of waiting in these moments. May we be the kind of people who wait on God's words to be revealed, for redemption has come. God bless you.